Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. And I've entitled this evening's message, God Demonstrates His Love. God demonstrates His love. How many of you are so blessed to know that God has demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet still what? Sinners. And so we're going to see this in this passages of Scripture. So, if we're there, let's read. Therefore, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You catch that? And the hope and the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in what? You mean amusement parks? No, tribulations, huh? Did you hear that? We glory. How do you glory in tribulations? How do you glory when things are not going right? Glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Ah. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been what? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was what? Given to us. Look at this in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. Put your name in that group. Because we were all ungodly, weren't we? There was nothing holy about us. Look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And verse 8. This is where I got the topic. But God, say that with me. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ what? Dying for us. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? That He died for us? Come on, we can go back to our BC years. Go back to where He found you. For some of you, that was just a few years ago. For me, by the grace of God, it's been 35. So I don't know the day that you got saved. But let me just say this. He was good to you prior to that. Prior to that, God was still good, wasn't He? Amen. So let's break this down in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, saints, with the word therefore, Paul indicates a conclusion based on his previous argument. And that was in chapter 4. Paul showed how sinners, both Jews and Gentiles, are justified by faith. How many are so blessed to know that? It wasn't works of righteousness. It wasn't what we did. It's what God did for us. Look what I found here in Galatians chapter 2, right up here. Look at this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works. See, there it is. By the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you so blessed? What if God said, okay, in order for you to be saved, I need you to go to Sweetwater's football field and run 200 laps. And then give me 500 push-ups. Okay, everyone would fail the test, right? Because it would be a type of works. But he's saying, we're not saved by that. We're saved by faith and belief in who he is. Praise God. Look at this. Even when we believed in Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. See, the law pointed out our sin. We all deserve death. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We all should have been going down to that fiery place. We know what's called hell. A lot of people won't talk about that place, but guess what? Jesus talks about hell more than he does heaven. And he goes on to say in here, by the works of the law, for the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Well, you know what that means? We cannot stand before God and say this, oh, look at me, God. Oh, look what I've done, God. Oh, look at my good looks. Look what I've accomplished. Oh, look at all my degrees. We can't. That doesn't get us into heaven. That doesn't weigh out the balances. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Every rotten sinner and every moral good person still needs Jesus. We both spectrums needs the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. And so here, saints, he begins to describe how having been made right in God's sight by faith affects our relationship with God. Did you know that? It does. First, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for you and I. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he gives you this liquid love you can't comprehend.
Yeah.
But guess what? You're no longer angry and miserable. You become peaceful.
You,
can I get amen?
Amen?
You learn now to love people that you once despised.
That's right. That's right.
And there was a lot of people in my life that I despised. I don't want to deal with them. I shared last night in the men's study. I was just on this Arkansas trip. I was there for my grandson. These are not my notes, but God's telling me to share this. And I looked at everyone that was there. They all came to my son's house, and you know, we had dinner there and everything. And so my ex-wife was there, Patsy. My two children, Anthony and Sophia, from her. Her two twin sisters, Terry and Carrie. His cousin, Manny and Ariel. And all those people were there. And yet at one time, when she divorced me many years ago, they all hated my guts. They all wished me dead. Her father wished me dead. He paid $23,000 for our wedding. We were at the U.S. Grant Hotel. We had a band and a DJ. We got married at that church in Presidio Park, the Immaculate Conception, or I think that's what it's called. And yet, I threw it all away because of my drug addiction. And they hated my guts. And we were talking about Joseph, how God still, they hated him. They wanted to kill him. And yet, God chose to keep him steadfast in his faith. And then God would use him to bless them. And so I told them, all these haters that hated me, God allowed me to go back into their lives, and every one of them got saved.
Amen.
My ex-wife's grandparents, we led them to the Lord. And then her father, I baptized him personally, and then I baptized her mom in Israel. And then her two twin sisters, they all got saved. And I'm looking at it, I go, God, I remember this group hated me. I was sitting there and God was saying, look how good I am. Look how good I am. And man, I just sat there and I go, oh my gosh, Lord. There was nothing I did but just love Him and obey Him. And allow those haters to hate. There's people in your life, they probably are haters in your life. Let them hate. God will use you to win them to Him. Don't get caught up in their squabble. Let go and let God.
Come on.
I'm hoping I'm helping someone tonight.
Yep. Yeah.
Let go and let God.
Amen.
Having peace with God means there is no more hostility between us and God. No sin blocking our relationship with Him. More than that, a new relationship has been established. So with no longer dread, we don't dread the outcome of judgment under the protection established by God. God is watching over us now. God is responsible for us now as children of the Most High. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to verse 2 in Romans chapter 5. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. In the hope of glory. The glory of who? The glory of God. You see, saints, not only has Christ made us right with God, but He also has given us personal access to Himself. How many of you have been to that throne room? Oh, come on. I've been to His throne room in prayer, in deep prayer, where I feel like I'm the only one in that room with Him. And yet billions are in that same room that we cannot see. They're there with Him. But it's like, it's just me and Him. It's incredible when you have that relationship with God like that. And so, we have been brought into a place of favor with God. How many believe that you have now favor with God? Instead of being His enemies, we are His friends. In fact, not only His friends, but His children now. Well, we cry out, Abba, Father. Aren't you so blessed? So blessed to know that we changed our parents? Because you know who our father was before we got saved. Who was he?
The devil.
Old Slewfoot, right? And so God tossed him out and gave him Himself to us. Look what it says right here in John. Look at John 15:15 right here. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has called you a friend.
God has called you a friend.
For all the things, look at that, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have what? Made known to you.
Hallelujah.
You know what? God doesn't keep His secrets from us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And look what Paul wrote in Galatians right up here. Galatians 4:5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as what? Sons. And that means daughters too. Sons and daughters. Because we were under the curse of the law. And then God radically saved us. Man, praise God. Praise God. Knowing that we were adopted by the one who created the whole entire universe. He spoke everything into existence, and yet He came down to this earth and adopted us.
Thank you, God.
Wow. Do we deserve that? No. But I'm happy. I'm happy He chose me. Aren't you blessed that He chose you?
Yes.
That's right. So when you come to church, don't look like you just drank some prune juice. Come in with joy and happiness. Man, I'm here to worship the King. I looked over here when the worship was on, and these two sisters in there was like, they was in another place.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah, they were. You see, saints, humankind was created for glory, His glory. But because of sin, We had all fallen short of God's standard. We understand that, right? It is God's purpose to recreate His image, His glory, fully in us, so that we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing His glory with other people. So that's why I just said that. When we come, when we gather together, man, there's got to be some joy in us. Because we need to encourage one another, because we all are going through. My dear wife right now, she's still hippity-hoppity. Yeah. No one saw that coming. She didn't see that coming. And no, she didn't kick the dog. But God's healing her. God is strengthening her. And he put her on timeout for whatever reason. Only her and Him know.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I leave it alone as that. I don't talk to your papa. Anticipating our future with God ought to bring great joy. Can I get an amen? We stand in God's grace, and the outcome of our lives is secure in His hands. Praise God. We no longer, saints of God, need to be haunted by thoughts of judgment. We can reflect upon and respond to His grace now. Just know this, when you close your eyes, one day, we don't know when the day will happen, but one day we're going to open them and be in His glory. Can I get an
amen?
He either is going to take us in the rapture, or He's going to allow our body to expire, but our soul and spirit will be with Him.
Amen.
How many are so blessed to know that? Man. It won't be like that movie Ghost. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Or when you... That was kind of a depiction of, you know, people that die without Christ are going to go like that. Lord have mercy. Jesus. That's why we need to be prayed up. Amen. And thankful. Thankful for what God has done. Let's go to verse 3 in Romans chapter 5. Look at this. And not only that, but we also glory in what? Tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Saints, we have to come to a conclusion. Problems and trials were a normal experience for the first century Christians. And guess what? Nothing's changed. Nothing's new under the sun. Guess what? 2,000 years later, we're still going through stuff, aren't we? You know, coming from that prophetic conference, many believe that this market's going to crash. If it crashes, everything that we have saved, or the lack thereof, will be gone. Everything. And so, we see the evil one at work, but we know God has our best interest. Can I get amen? This is why the church needs to get really close to the Lord. This is a time to be the church and not play church. Problems and trials were a normal experience for them. On their first missionary journey, when Paul ventured out, he ventured out with Barnabas. He preached in several cities, and many people became believers. Why? Because they had that desire to reach souls. My question is, do you have that same desire? Do you want to see your family saved? Do you want to see friends and people saved? Let that be in your heart, the agenda of your heart. Yeah, we need things. Yeah, I want things. Yeah, I desire these things. But you know what should be on the top of that list? Someone that you know that's not saved. God, save that person.
That's right. Amen.
Save that person. You see, Paul, he went through excruciating pain that no one in this room right now, or someone watching, could honestly say, I've experienced that. But yet, he continued. He still persevered. He still withstood and endured. Look what I'm talking about right up here. In 2 Corinthians, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. That means beatings. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. He's seen people die in front of him. From the Jews, 5 times I received what? 40 stripes. That's taking a whip. And we don't know if it was the whip that whipped Jesus with the 9 claw or 10 claw. But man, the kind that would stick in your skin and rip out flesh. Look at this. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Look at this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day, I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in the perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils in false brethren, people that he thought they were his friends and they weren't. You know that old song, it was way back, probably before your time, they smile in your face. All the time they want to take your place, them backstabbers. Well, that's what they were. They were backstabbers. Backstabber. He had to deal with all that. Look at this. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils amongst false brethren. Wow. Look at this. In verse 20, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness. Often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other thing that what comes up to me daily, my deep concern for what? That's what he was concerned about. He took that whooping and kept going. He knew the revelation that God gave. He knew that his race was short. He knew that to be absent from the body was going to be present with the Lord. So he had the faith to believe, hey, when this body's done, I'm going to be with Christ. And so that's the kind of anointing he had. He had anointing beyond our measure. We like to say, hey, you know, I want a double portion, you know, triple portion. No, he had an anointing like we cannot comprehend. To have that joy, to persevere, to press, to move forward. After all that, I can't wait to meet this man. We're all going to meet Paul. Did you know we're all going to meet them all up there? Yeah. Abraham, Noah, Yolanda and Catherine are going to say, hey, you know what? I was on your boat. And it was a beautiful boat. And it housed them all, huh? Yes. Praise God. You see, saints, but as always, the case was that there was an immediate backlash of persecution always against the believers. For Christian suffering does not negate the reality of God's love, though, but provides the occasion to affirm and apply it. Apply what? His love. This character quality of learning to endure is not an end in itself. It's not. Look what I found in 1 Peter right up here. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Okay? Some trials right now, they grieve. Brother, what you're going through, it grieves. It grieves everyone around you. What I'm going through, it grieves everyone around me. We all know people that are going through, and it grieves everyone. But look what it says here. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. So what God is saying, okay, I know you're going through, but have the faith which is beyond gold. Gold is one of the highest qualities or metals on earth. God is saying, be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at it like this, my brother. You and I, and there's others right now in here, and they're watching, are going through. But for us, because our body is ailing and failing us, when we see him face to face, it'll be all worth it. Because he's going to peel us away from this body of flesh, and we will have a body like his. No more pain. No more suffering. Eternal joy. Eternal happiness. Man, how many can't wait for that day?
Amen.
I can't wait. And it's going to come, right?
Yes, it will.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's move on to verse 4 in Romans chapter 5. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, that's what it's all about. The hope of God. The hope. Now, none of us has seen Jesus face to face, right? But our hope and our faith is that we will see him face to face. And soon and very soon. Saints, it is one step in a process. Endurance develops strength of character. I want you to see this right up here. The word character in the Greek is called doxin. Includes the idea of approved as a result of testing. Testing. We're all going to be tested. And guess what? God's going to approve all of us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Your brother right now that's coming home. Look at the testing. Look at the testing. He's coming home. And you know what? We give God all the glory. We give God all the praise. Hallelujah. And we pray right now for his salvation. Father, you're bringing him home because you're going to save him. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Lord, you do not waste anything on this earth. And so God, bless them. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're believing God, Brother John. We're believing God. See, a person with this kind of character is known for his or her inward qualities rather than any outward appearance. You know, I like how Brother G says, we could fake the funk really well. But inside, we may be toe up from the flow up. Hurting. The end result of this chain reaction is confident expectation of salvation. Amen. Salvation. Confidence that God is in control and will see us all through. Do you believe God was going to see us all through it?
Yeah.
That's right. To the very end. The difficulties of life are not random, meaningless, or wasted when you and I are trusting God. So just remember what we're going through. If we're trusting God, these are not wasted times. God's going to answer our cry. He hears our cry. Can I get amen? He will hear your cry, our cry, 24/7. Just stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? So let's move now to verse 5. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 5. Now, hope does not disappoint. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Hope doesn't disappoint. Why? He answers it. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is why we need to have the Holy Spirit and fill us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You could know about God. You could read about him and still yet not know him. Oh, but when you open up your heart, you repent. Have him come in. He washes you in his blood. Then he fills you with his power, his spirit, his anointing. You start at that point, become transformed. Amen. Day by day.
Hallelujah.
A transition takes place.
Yes.
How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Man, every day you get stronger and stronger in your faith, even as you're going through.
Yes.
You know, my physical body ain't right. I know it's not right yet. And it may never get right until the right one comes for me. And the righteous one is Jesus. Saints, our expectation that God will keep his promises will never disappoint us. Let me ask you this. Has he ever disappointed you?
No.
And he never will.
That's right.
When our trust is in God, we are absolutely assured that he will fulfill all that he has promised. And how many believe his promises are true? A yes and amen.
Amen.
And we will be resurrected to the eternal life and we'll be with him in glory. That's going to be our hope and the final outcome. None of us want to stay in this body of flesh. You know, for a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old, they think they're going to live forever. You remember back in the day? Yeah. Okay. Talk to me when you get 60. Huh? I think things start to change, huh? Oh, things start to change. Thank you, God. And see, the Holy Spirit continues to encourage you and I, reminding us how dearly God loves us. He loves us and will do as he has promised. Do you know that the promises, we could take them to the bank? Here's a promise right up here. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Look at this. And he died for all, that those live should no longer, what? Live for themselves, but for him who died them and rose again. What? That's for you and I. We're going to rise again. Can I get an amen? And look what Titus wrote. Look at this in Titus. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he what? Poured out abundantly. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of what? Eternal life. Did you know that you are a joint heir with Christ? Did you know that everything that Jesus owns is now yours? Did you know that everything in eternity, everything in heaven, everything that he went away to prepare a place for you, it's all been given to him, to us by him. Man. See, we can have this hope in God because of the nature of his love. You know, God is the epitome of love. I hope you know that. There is no hate in him. He made us in his love. Or he would have never made us in his image. Can you get that one? He made us in his love, or he would have never made us in his image. But that's how much he loved us. That's why he came down to save us. You know, Esau that. And God, his father, already slew the Lamb of God before the foundation was even spoken into. God already slew his son in eternity past. Something that we're not going to really truly grasp here on earth. Because it's just mind-boggling. It's beyond us. But that's what he did. And so let's move on to verse 6 in Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. That's the greatest news ever, isn't it? The greatest news. Let me just ask this question, and we won't stay on it long. But before you got saved, and hopefully it was before you got saved, did you ever hate someone that you wanted that person dead?
Yep.
Okay. Amen.
That's my wife.
So that was like throwing a stone in where there was a pack of dogs, and we heard the one that got hit with the stone. Yipe! I say that because all of us was so corrupt, and yet he came to die for us and to forgive us. This is why, remember I just said, before salvation, the issue becomes now, after salvation, do you still hate someone? Because if you do, you got to come to the altar and give that person to God and repent, because you won't go in. Jesus said, if you can't forgive your brother, my Father cannot forgive you. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You're not talking now to a sinner. He's talking to one of his children. If Jesus hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and what they did to him, how they ridiculed him, they mocked him, they beat him, they stabbed him, and he was butt naked on that cross. He didn't have a terry cloth on. Before the world, in humility. And we can't forgive a brother and a sister? Man, go home tonight and get it right with God. But let me just say this. Don't go to bed still unforgiving that person, because you may not wake up. Can I get amen?
Amen?
I'm hoping I'm speaking loud and clear to me. Because whatever is good for you is good for me. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Jesus. You see, saints, God's plan from the beginning was to send his son to die for us just at that right time. Referring to both the timing in history and the timing in God's plan. Look at what it says right here. I put it in Galatians. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law. Okay, what does that mean? That means God chose that time. Not during Abraham, not during Genesis time, not through the kings and the judges. No, not in our generation. He came just exactly how God had planned him to come, which was 2,000 years ago. And right now, the blood is still flowing.
Amen.
The blood is still flowing. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He was born under the Roman law. Isn't that something? He was born under the Mosaic law. There was a lot of laws at work. There was even the law of Newton. Guess what the law of Newton is? Gravity. That's a law working right now. Or we'd be floating off into the stratosphere. We're confined to this earth by the law of gravity. So there's a lot of laws at work right now. There's a law on the street. Yeah, we get away with sometimes driving 80, but one day we're going to have that wee right behind us. What did we do? We broke a law. We break laws all the time. But Jesus, hallelujah, he stepped over the law.
Come on.
Hallelujah. And said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. Hallelujah. He stepped over it. And he showed us grace. He showed us mercy. Ooh, how many are so blessed to know? Thank you, God, that it was by faith he saved you and I. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 7. We got a couple of verses, and then we'll close. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Let me ask this question. If God showed up in your room, and those of you that have a son, and says, I need to use your son to die for the world. That's like a heartache in itself. That just the thought of that, to see your son get mauled on that cross and to die for the sins of the world. We couldn't endure that. I couldn't endure that. Could you? Well, God the Father, who spoke everything to existence, had to send his son to die on that cross for you and I. This is why, let me just say this. I'm going to say this as lightly as I can. Those who fall into hell, they're going to be reminded of God's grace, why he went to the cross for them, and yet they still rejected him. They're going to experience eternal torment like no other. Picture putting on the four burners on your stove and see how long you can keep your arm on it before you back it off. Well, picture your whole body roasting in there like that and never perishing, meaning he doesn't allow your body to just disintegrate. He keeps it intact for eternity as you are smoldering in it. Wow. That's right. You see, the highest expression of human love is when someone gives his or her life so that another person can continue to live. People are able to understand sacrificial love even though it is rarely practiced. I must admit, I'm going to say this, in our church, I've seen some people in our church truly love like Jesus. And it blesses my heart. Even with their imperfections, because we're not perfect, right? But to have that heart to do things for another person, it's beyond comprehension. And I want to personally give a shout out to all those who sent food our way while we were hurting. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you. You know what? May God bless your hands and your heart and your thought behind it. That God will always replenish whatever you used up. That there will always be abundance for your heart. Came home and it was like, wow, look at all this. I thought I had to go grocery shop. No, there's food here for days. You know, that's the grace of God. That's the love of God. That's what God has done in our hearts. My brother was willing to pick me up at midnight. I said, no, brother, I can't do that. No. Because he's going through. He's going through and he still wanted to pick me up late. That's the love he has. Man. You know, a pastor, to be surrounded by people that love God like that, I couldn't. It's beyond me. It's beyond what I could ever comprehend. And I'm so mighty thankful. But look what I found in the book of John here. Greater love has no... Look at this. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. Who's that? Jesus. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Look at this. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is God's grace. He's letting us know, too, that we're coming to the end of the age, that he's coming back for us. Look at this in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should what? go and bear fruit. Every one of you in here are bearing fruit. You guys are fruit bearers in here. This is what I love about those who come out Wednesdays and Sundays. I just see people bearing fruit. Why? Because they love the Lord. And they do what God has called them to do. And you can see the fruit falling off you guys' branches. Only God can do that kind of work. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father, what? In my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love what? Don't say hate one another, does it? I'll just gripe with one another. Bicker with one another. Antagonize one another. Or how about the one, gossip about one another. Shame on us, huh? You see, saints, this kind of sacrificial gesture is almost always depend upon a relationship that already exists between the one sacrificing parent, sibling, spouse, fellow soldier, and the one that's being benefited by. And we are what? We are the benefactors of His grace. We are the benefactors of His grace. Praise God. And so, we go to our last verse. Verse number 8. In Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were what? He died for us. Man, we were still rotten. We were rotten to the core. Come on. I know we share our testimonies, but we don't share everything, do we? Those things are kept to be private, and yet God still died for that. He still died for that. You see, Christ's death is the highest manifestation of God's love for us. And while we were what? Rebellious and despicable, Christ died for us so that we could what? Come to Him. Come to God. Find peace with Him and become the heirs of His promise. And so I'm going to close with these scriptures right here. And then we'll pray. Look at this. In John 3:16. Some of you got that written down on your refrigerator door. Some of you got it written down in your Bible. That's right. There you go. Look at that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but what have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. That lets us know that He came into this world, and this world was already condemned. It was already headed to hell in a handbasket. But He came to save us. Look at verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. You catch that? So when a person comes into this world, they're already condemned. Matter of fact, we're walking dead men. We're on death row. As soon as we're born, we're already walking on death row. Look at this. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That was our MO. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, say that with me, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be what? Clearly seen that they have been done in God. You see, my friends, Christ did not die so that we could be made lovable. No. Christ died because God already loved us and wanted us to bring us closer to Him. And by becoming close to God, then people will learn to love us and we'll learn to love them. Amen? And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this study tonight, God. Lord, I just want to thank you being back here. Being back, Lord, is a blessing to minister to your saints. Father, I'm praying, God, that maybe someone, just someone that's watching, that maybe never given their life to you, that this would be their opportunity. And if you're watching right now, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you right now to bow your head and your heart. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do the miracle that he's done for us, for you. And so pray this wonderful prayer by faith and expect God to do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy?
Worthy.
Come on, is he worthy?
Worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.